definitely.
What did we find out? Now, you let's dial back to the first part of the program. We talked about Father Costa. It's C-O-S-T-A, right? Costa. It's not Acosta. It's Costa.
It's Costa, right?
Costa.
C-O-S-T-A.
Well, he ran that. He ran Smeltertown kind of like as a not an iron hand, perhaps, but certainly as a closed group. Did he not?
He did. You know, and in those days, I mean, the church and the priest, I mean. The church itself, of course, well respected, you know, so everything that he had in mind at that time, you know, he was in control, you know, so what he pretty much wanted to do, he was able to do. And the story here, as I read the diaries and go back, you know, that he documents everything that he was doing, you know, he does state, you know, in some cases it was ideas were not well received. You know, the initial contact, you know, he has a part, and every part of this, let's call it diary, has the title of what it is, you know, of what he's doing. You know, the composition of the monument itself, the history of why he wanted to do it, you know, I mean, just all kinds of things that he outlines. I mean, from the actual monument itself to the first ascension, the first climb. You know, and he's got dates, you know, the exact dates of when he did the first climb. You know, one entry here, page 3, it says, you know, the first ascension, and it says October 28th, Saturday on the eve of the Universal Feast of Christ the King in 1933. You know, Father Costa, accompanied by Boy Scouts and friends of the parish, a group of about 18 people, took the risk and perils of climbing to reach the peak at 10 o'clock in the morning. So, I mean, from time, date, stamps, and everything else, everything is pretty much outlined in this diary that he wrote.
Well, let's restate what you found. What you found was some paperwork of the family, and you were cleaning it up because you had nothing else to do during your quarantine. And so you started looking in boxes of papers, and you found what has turned out to be a Father Costa diary from the early days, and that's what you're reading from.
Right, this is a diary, and as I mentioned earlier, you know, that Father Costa's niece is the one that handed my dad, you know, some paperwork, and this diary was within that paperwork that he got. So, you know, we were moving boxes, and my daughter was here, you know, she was helping me move some stuff, and she says, "What's this?" and picked it up, and I looked at it. We started going, and she started actually reading it, and she says, "This is the whole history of Cristo Rey," you know, and we went through it, you know, and then I read the whole thing, and I mean, it's you know, from the date that he walked into the bishop's office, you know, he says, you know, on this particular date, October 31st, 1933, Father Costa pays a visit to the bishop, you know, the Most Reverend A.J. Schuller of El Paso, and you know, he explains his idea to him, and he says, you know, the bishop's face was, it's hard to read some of that, but he says he had no expression, you know, when he told him. And he said he just took it under advisement. He was looking for divine inspiration. Bishop Schuller reluctantly approved the idea, but added that he would not erect a statue unless it was approved by him. And it was something similar to the one like in Denver. So, you know, I mean, this whole thing, I mean, the conversations and everything that he had, this is, you know, it's great.
Well, it's interesting to look back at the early history. I believe the Pope, about a year earlier, sometime ahead of that, had put out an edict across the world, go figure out how to put statues up to Jesus or something like that. And so there were several that had gone on. South America got the huge one. Apparently Denver area got one. And so this one, Father Costa was saying, well, you know that peak over there behind Smeltertown, that needs a monument. But he didn't know if that was in Mexico or where it was at the time.
He didn't care.
He was going to go do it anyway. Turned out it was New Mexico, right? What's up, Melissa?
I just wanted to ask a quick question on that. Is in the diary that you mentioned you have, excuse me, have you come across where he actually mentioned about his vision or his dream that he had?
I actually did. He says the first idea, and he actually says, you know, Wednesday, October 25th, 1933, 6 o'clock in the morning, Father Costa. And this is some of it is I don't understand how, I mean, I guess he wrote it, but he wrote it in kind of third person, you know. So he says, Father Costa is looking towards the mountain every day and is, in an uncounted number of times, he's attracted he's attracted by the vision, okay, is what he says. His imagination, he says he imagines a large area of building a monument of Christ atop the peak. Because he thinks it's not in the American soil, he rejects the idea. But he continues to do it, and sometimes he is held there by an unknown force. He kneels and prays and promises to investigate and then to plant a cross. He is left free from injuries, something about injuries for the church at Mass or something like that. Well, he says he investigates at that point, contribution causes to the discovery is what he talks about, and he talks about that the Spanish speaking families of San Jose de Cristo Rey Church in Smeltertown, the communities. This is the reasons he built it. He says the cunning communism propaganda from north to south and the retirement abandonment of Catholics from the church attendance. He says the good causes and the reasons that he did this, and he says that the 19th centennial of the redemption of Jesus Christ, the promulgation of the Jubilee year of the holiness Pope the 11th.
Well, you mentioned.
And then it says the,
go ahead. Well, you mentioned redemption. That's Christ the Redeemer up there. That's not a crucifix.
Right.
And see,
and that was one of the considerations that when, you know, and the other thing that I learned, too, that there was a previous artist that was a local artist that was actually contacted first. And he did he did some drawings, some ideas, and it was rejected.
Oh.
You know, and I didn't know that. I didn't know that there was a local guy, and I'll find the name of the guy that was.
Let's take a look at that. Let's just do this. After the break, let's take a look at the integration, shall we say, there's another word, integration, between Smelter Town and the smelter itself. It was an incredible Arsarco thing that this happened here. But let's take a call first real quick. We got to talk to Patricia. Good morning, Patricia. Well, we're good. You sound like your cell phone's coming and going. Speak right into that thing. What is on your mind?
I'm right in. Let me take your office. Okay.
Yeah, no speaker phones work. They don't work on radio very well. So what's new, Patricia? You over at Concordia? Did we lose Patricia?
She may have disconnected herself. I'm not sure. She might be going from her phone in her car, or speaker in her phone. To her phone.
Let's do this. Patricia, call us back. We're going to take a break here. Ruben Escandon Jr. is our guest. We're talking about Smelter Town, etc. It is time for a break, so let's do that. We'll move on to another call once we get one. In the meantime, if that's her calling back, tell her we'll be back in a couple of minutes. Ruben, stick around, dude. We're going to talk more about this. But the phone number is that they can call.
915-544-544. 5876 or 915-544-KTSM.
Amigos!
Amigos at 2000 Montana Avenue, one block east of Cotton. Amigos Restaurant is the green building with the free parking. Amigos serves breakfast and lunch 7 days a week and dinner Tuesday through Sunday. Amigos on Montana has traditional El Paso Mexican food, plus salads, chicken, and chocolate flan. Amigos has private dining rooms for parties and meetings. Get ready, get hungry. We're cooking at Amigos. 2000 Montana Avenue, 533-0155. Amigos!
iHeartMedia knows small businesses across the country are facing new challenges during the COVID-19 pandemic. So to help, we've put together the iHeartRadio Small Business Crisis Resource, which has critical information, including links to federal and state resources providing businesses with stimulus loans, grants, and other financial aid. We also shine a spotlight on small businesses doing good right now. Visit smallbusinesscrisisresource.com to learn more. That's smallbusinesscrisisresource.com, because your small business is big to us.
Hi, I'm Jay Farner, CEO of Quicken Loans and Rocket Mortgage. During the challenging times we're all experiencing, our top priority is the health and safety of the communities we serve. And while it's true that things are changing rapidly every day, one thing that'll never change is our commitment to giving you the best mortgage experience. At Rocket Mortgage, our guiding philosophy of every client, every time, no exceptions, no excuses, exists for times like right now. We understand that hardships may arise, and we're prepared to help. If you currently work with us and need assistance with your mortgage, contact us 24/7 at rocketmortgage.com. As we all think about ways to save money, let me remind you that mortgage rates are near historic lows.
If you think right now is the right time to refinance your mortgage, our home loan experts are available to help you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at rocketmortgage.com.
Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLSconsumeraccess.org, number 3030.
Guys, waking up over and over to pee is not okay. But now, you can reduce those nighttime bathroom trips with the ingredients in Super Beta Prostate P3 Advanced. We're talking about less urges to pee at night, less bathroom trips during the day, and better bladder emptying.
It's like taking three prostate supplements in one.
You can try a full 30-day bottle of P3 Advanced, free. Just pay shipping and handling. No strings attached, no obligations, and no commitments to buy. This is a 30-day supply, absolutely free. Call 1-800-476-2471. Super Beta Prostate is the best-selling brand in major retailers like Walmart. But for this no-strings-attached free bottle, you must call now. Call 1-800-476-2471. Don't miss out on this unprecedented free offer. Call 1-800-476-2471. 1-800-476-2471.
News Radio 690 KTSM.
And now let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show. Brought to you by ephistory.com. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive. By Monterey Asset Management. By Mission Del Rey, 1421 Lee Trevino, with El Paso souvenirs and gift shopping. By Keystone Heritage Park on Donovan Drive, 915-584-0563. And by Amigos Restaurant, 2000 Montana, a block east of Cotton, open 7 days a week. Here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
Next week, May the 16th, Manos. Oh, my God, we're actually going to do this. Manos, Hands of Fate, the worst movie ever made, was made in El Paso. And we review that movie with Jay Duncan, who also has a list of pandemic movies that we can see. And yeah. Those are going to be depressing.
There's a good one, Panic in the Streets. Watch that one. It's about the bubonic plague.
Oh, God. After that, May 23rd, Bernie Sargent's back to review the many famous people buried around El Paso, a focus on Concordia. I was wondering if he might even talk about some of the old cemeteries that they dig up once in a while when they dig up an old alley or a street in downtown.
Like downtown, a Missouri man.
They pop up all kinds of weird people. Ooh, let's do something with that. Anyway, May the 30th, we're going to discuss many El Paso authors who have books that explain El Paso history or are connected to such a thing. Our guest will be Cindy Malazzo by phone, and we're going to split up stuff. She's going to take Texas Western Press people, and you and I are going to look at a whole bunch of other people. And we're never going to cover all of them, so don't be mad if we don't get your author. But we'll take some phone calls.
We'll try, yeah.
Let's see what we can do. June the 6th, Mr. Bob Chisholm. One of the most interesting military guys ever out of El Paso. He's going to review the military history on the anniversary of D-Day.
Cool.
He will also talk about a private museum for El Paso military history that he wants to help create.
Oh, he wants to create.
Oh, yeah. He can help do it. June the 13th, Judge Bill Moody will be our guest. He's going to explain United States presidential visits to El Paso.
Ah, cool.
And you got some Facebook comments.
Yeah, I was looking on our El Paso History Radio Show Facebook page where I did post a more recent picture of Ruben doing a wedding at Keystone, like I said.
There you go.
But I also wanted to kind of mention some of the people that have responded. It's been interesting. Ramon Escobedo, he says, wow, beautiful story. Lord bless him. My father grew up sometime at that in the smelter town, and his father was Fidel Escobedo Word. He lived there for 30 years, or worked at Sarco for 30 years. And you've got, another person, Margie Soto. She says, I climbed Mount Cristo Rey up there for a couple hours, and we kind of slid down most of the way, tearing up our pants and shoes, scraping our arms. It was so much fun.
Take the road, dummy. Good God.
They were having a good time.
Oh, really?
And then we had to...
There's cactus on that mountain.
Oh, I know. Ow, ow. But, yeah, it's just some great remarks on it.
Well, now, Kevin said he ran up and down there 200 times in his life. That's a whole lot of time. That's more than running. And that's more than Jeep trips that Ruben, than Ruben took.
Oh, and one last thing. I do have on the Facebook page, El Paso History Radio Show Facebook page, a link to the restorative committee that Ruben's director
Restoration
of.
Committee.
Restoration committee.
Well, you can go
there and you can find out more information or donate to help him out.
You can go call 252-9840. You get Ruben. Isn't that right,
Ruben?
That's
there, too.
Where's Ruben?
That's right.
Yeah,
there he is.
There you are. We got you now. You know, that guy running the board in there is your nephew by removal. You remember, I'm the brother from another mother, so that makes Andrew your nephew from another aunt or whatever.
You
made that stuff up years ago. It's still stuck. Hey, we got a caller who wants to weigh in on this stuff. We've got a bunch of callers here. This one's named Patricia. Are you back again?
I'm back.
Okay, where'd you go?
My string on my tin can broke.
Oh, dear. Well, so you're out in the Concordia Cemetery, Patricia Kidney?
I am.
The lady
under one of the only shade trees.
Is it getting hot out there or what?
Yeah, it's getting hot out here.
Okay. What's on your mind?
Well, I just wanted to tell people that cemetery has remained open during this time, and visitors are coming, and, of course, they're observing the social distancing. And people are out here today placing flowers on their loved ones, on their moms.
Oh, that's nice.
And grandma's graves, yeah. And, you know, it's a time for the Palo Verdes are in full bloom, the yellow. We've got all kinds of vegetation blooming, the wildflowers, birds of paradise. And the grass is about 4 inches high.
Oh, dear.
And it's like a prairie grass.
Oh.
It's just a nice little prairie grass. And it's when the wind blows, it just sort of ripples through, kind of like an ocean. It's beautiful.
You're having a good time in the cemetery at Concordia, aren't you?
Always. And I did want to say that we're not having ghost tours yet. We're hoping to be able to resume if everything goes well in June.
Well, keep us posted. We've got you in June coming on, and you're going to be talking about the various people you portray of the Old West, are you not?
I will do that.
Indeed.
Sure.
That'll be fun.
Okay.
Thanks for ringing up.
Right. Take care.
We also have flags for Memorial Day.
Yes.
A minimum amount at the Veterans Section, the GAR, and Buffalo Soldier.
Okay, cool.
So we're out here. We're taking care of business.
Excellent. Thank you for that. We'll see you on the air in June.
And they also participate with the Kiwanis Flag Day Club group, which is a great
all
group.
All across El Paso.
Yeah, I get a flag from them every holiday. There's a flag need, and it's a very cheap donation to do this. It helps them out and helps Boy Scout troops
put
and
flags up.
Youth organizations.
Hey, Ruben, we had a question off air. Father Costa, he wrote that thing in Spanish, we're presuming, right?
No, actually, it's in English.
Oh, okay.
He was Italian, wasn't he?
Well,
he was Spanish.
He was Spanish.
He knew Soler from Spain, apparently, the artist that ultimately got the contract. So what's the deal with these diaries? You think they might get published sometime?
Well, I think I'd like to work on them and you know, redo them. I mean, it's real hard. The print is now very, very faint, and that's why I'm having a hard time reading it. But it's actually, and that could have been it, that if you know, I really don't even know if he spoke English. You know, I'm sure some of my residents there in Smeltertown, I've got some notices already on my Facebook that they're listening, and I know that some of them could tell that. You know, I don't even know if he did speak English. Maybe this was translated, and that's why, you know, it was written in third person. But, you know, the stories, and it says that it's written by him, you know, unless he did, you know. So I don't know, maybe somebody can chime in that actually knew him. You know, I was baptized by him. I was born in 65. In August, and I think I was baptized in September, and he died shortly after. I think he died in December, if I'm not mistaken, somewhere around
there. We're talking about Father Costa of Smeltertown. The guy on the radio is Ruben Escandon Jr., and he found some old, what appear to be diaries of the Padre that we didn't know about until this week. Interesting. All right, you ready for another phone call? Let's see what happened. We've got Greg from the diocese on here. Greg, is that you?
Yes, sir. I'm the chief financial officer there, and I was listening to Ruben's story, and I called Bishop Seitz, and he listens to your program also.
Cool.
And we would certainly be interested in seeing Ruben's product after it's done, or even, I don't know, we could help out with it, but certainly from the Catholic Diocese point of view, we'd love to see the history of.
Be nice
what
to
happened.
see it digitized.
Ruben, there
nice.
You go. You got an invite from the diocese to take a look at that. And if he calls up and asks for the CFO named Greg, they'll get you, right?
Yes, Greg Waters. Yeah.
Okay. There you go, Ruben. Greg, thanks for ringing up.
Thanks, Greg.
Sounds good. I appreciate
thank
that.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
You take it easy. Thank you. And that actually would be interesting history to continue to spread around. So you got a book on your hands, whether you like it or not, Reuben.
This is going to be definitely a chapter to my book. You know, I told you that we had started that documentary. And the documentary that we did on, as I, you know, jokingly titled it, The Life and Times of Reuben Escandón, you know, we had those reporters or the guys that did the documentary on me. It started off with bridge weddings, and then this whole story with Cristo Rey and what I've been doing. And, you know, I took them to La Calavera, took them to the smelter town, took them to Cristo Rey. And they wrote a whole, you know, they recorded everything. And luckily, what they did is they transcribed, you know, all the video, all the recordings, and they sent it to me. So I've got all that ready for my book.
Did that air somewhere? Did that air in Germany or wherever those guys were from?
The first one did. You know, it's amazing that, you know, we've got so much coverage on what I've done, that the first one actually was Japanese TV.
Oh.
I've had two German companies come in and you know, documentaries that were done. And then this last one is out of, they're actually a German company also, but they're based in Mexico City. And the production is happening in Mexico City. It got delayed, and of course now because of COVID, it got delayed again. But they're getting pretty close to releasing that, which is pretty cool. And it started off as a mini documentary on the bridge weddings. And now, last time I spoke to them, it's becoming a three-part, half-hour series. So something hopefully that they're pitching to Netflix, and that's who.
Cool.
They're working with, so it's pretty cool.
You got to tell us when that comes out.
Yeah, I have a question.
Definitely.
I have a question for you, though. Also, something that might be in the diary was when any mentions of his living with Soleri when he was on the mountain. He had this little building up there he was living in, and Costa lived with him, I guess, on and off.
Well, it said that he lived with him there on and off at the church. Actually, he lived at the church. Soler lived at the church with Costa, and he does mention that in the book here in the diary, and he says that he lived there. Now, the other part of the story there, that he had a house on the backside, you know, there's nothing mentioned. I looked for that too, wondering if, you know, what was the deal there.
There's a picture of that house. I think he was building it when he died, or something like
probably.
That. Well, anyway.
Yeah, probably.
All right, one more phone call.
I found the name of the first design when I was telling you that I didn't know that Soler, of course, wasn't the first contact.
Right.
He said that the first, there's an entry here that says suspended period of the first design. It says the first design of the monument was made by Spanish artist Pedro Calvo
in El
Paso, Texas, in January 1934. And he had the same idea, Jesus Christ standing at the foot of the big cross, offering himself to be crucified, which was a different design, and that was rejected at the time. So, you know, there's little things that talk about that is in this book that, you know, of course we had never seen.
Well, I, the Risen Christ is the better one. That's the one I like. That's the one that got built. All right, we're going to take a break. Oh, no, let's talk. Roy, what's on your mind? Three-letter word, Roy, go.
How you doing this morning?
Good morning.
I have a picture I want to give to Reuben of sooner or later. It's a picture of Mount Crystal Race, the back window at the upper back of the church before they tore it down in Smeltertown.
Smeltertown, yeah.
And it's a nice picture, I think. And the other thing is, could he maybe get the diary published in little pamphlets or something? Could sell them at the parking lot up there on the special days when people flood the place.
Well, now that it's become known Reuben has this, Reuben's going to be even more popular.
Well, hey. He's the only one in town.
That's it. 252-9840. We got to take a break, Roy. Thanks for ringing up. And I can't wait till we can get back out to Pepe's and hang out.
You bet.
All right, take her easy.
Thank you, Roy.
All right, Reuben, hang on there. We got to take another break here and come back and sell some soap.
Yes, soap.
Back in a moment. And
what's
that phone number, Ms.
Melissa? They can go to 915-544-5876 or 915-544-5876. KTSM.
With over 19 years of experience in the El Paso real estate market, Patrick Tuttle has successfully navigated the ups and downs of uncertain markets, including the last recession, and he can assist you in buying or selling in the current market. Call him today, 915-588-1850.
Hi, I'm Patrick Tuttle with Legacy Real Estate Services. I offer flexible fees, no upfront costs, and if you don't like me, fire me. Call me today at 915-588-1850. 588-1850.
Picture this scenario. A shortage of fuel has closed your electric utility, or any possible disaster has just devastated your town. You're out of power, no lights, and no news. That's why federal and state agencies urge every home to have an emergency radio. Now you can get a free Dynamo World Band emergency radio. This powerful radio lets you stay informed during any type of emergency. It doesn't even need batteries, and comes with a hand-crank generator and super bright LED flashlight. The Dynamo emergency radio includes the NOAA weather band, a long-range AM receiver, a high-sensitivity FM band, and even a USB jack to charge cell phones or other devices. The Dynamo emergency weather band radio retails for almost $30, but Newsmax wants to make sure you get this radio. So check out the free offer for the emergency radio by going to gettheradio.com. That's gettheradio.com or call 800-NEWSMAX. This radio could save your life. This is a limited offer and may end soon, so order today.
Listen to Kelvin. What he's about to say could change your life.
I'm 6'2", and I was about 290. I lost weight fast. I trimmed down. Now I'm about 235. I'm probably at about 9, maybe 10% body fat. That's great. I lost probably at least 60 pounds in probably 3.5-4 months. Color of my hair is coming back. Skin looks better. Obviously gaining muscle. My muscle mass is coming back. Thank you for providing an awesome product. Somebody who actually has and does what they say they will. That's awesome.
That's great, Kelvin. Losing that belly fat in less than 4 months is outstanding. Since 2004, Andro 400 has been changing men's lives, like Kelvin, and can help you lose belly fat, gain energy, and improve your lifestyle. We guarantee it. Go to andro400.com for more true testimonials, before and after photos, and special discounts. Only available on andro400.com. Andro400.com.
Do you have three ex-wives and your current trophy wife wants a life insurance policy three times the size of the policies you had to purchase for your previous mistakes? If so, you need to call Big Lou at Term Provider, 800-444-2013. Big Lou is intimately familiar with your problems, and if you're 50 or 60 years old and in reasonably good health, a $1 million policy should only cost about $100 to $200 per month. Big Lou may have a solution for your previous policies as well. You may even save enough money to lighten the load on your new $1 million policy. Remember, call Big Lou. He's like you, except he's only on number two. Call Term Provider at 800-444-2013. That's 800-444-2013. For $1 million in term life insurance that you can live with, call Big Lou at 800-444-2013. 800-444-2013.
News Radio 690, KTSM El Paso.
And now let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show, brought to you by ephistory.com, Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive, by Monterey Asset Management, by Mission Del Rey, 1421 Lee Trevino, with El Paso souvenirs and gift shopping, by Keystone Heritage Park on Donovan Drive, 915-584-0563. And by Amigos Restaurant, 2000 Montana, a block east of Cotton, open 7 days a week. Here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
Are you ready for this week only in El Paso, Inc.? You better be ready. It's your turn.
The battle for control of El Paso's United Bank has escalated, leading to a shareholder revolt and a lawsuit. Was the board ousted or not?
It's no surprise that Conrad Pickett, son of former state rep Joe Pickett, would have an eye for vintage cars. He talked to El Paso Inc. about his role as head of the Realtors Association, COVID-19 impacts on home buying, and forming strong bonds with his now retired dad.
Apartment and commercial property owners are already having a tough time because of COVID-19 pandemic, but now things are going to get tougher with the news of the Central District Appraisal's tax evaluations.
Celebrating its 25th year, El Paso Inc. is available for home or business delivery.
To order your copy of El Paso Inc., go online to elpasoinc.com.
Now. There you go.
Oops.
It's the thing that we do
Sorry
here.
Sorry about that.
A border coalition is working with one of the world's most prestigious research development organizations in the world of solutions for COVID-19. That's the subject of ABC 7 Extra Sunday night.
From testing to personal protective equipment, host Saul Science explores what they're doing to protect you. That's on ABC 7 Extra, Sunday nights at 10:35 p.m.
They have a whole lot of extras going on over there. Yeah. Every day of the week they have something extra.
I'd be curious what that is.
They've been pretty serious about looking into that. So.
I'll have to read it when I get home because it'll be on my driveway.
You'll have to watch this. Oh, you mean the ink part. Yeah. Anyway, hey, Ruben. Got a couple of questions for you. You remember, of course you remember, how can you forget? We went over to the smelter in 2010, you and me and a bunch of other people with cameras, and they let us in there. Roberto Puga, the trustee for the bankruptcy, they let us in there to drive around and look at everything that was in the smelter, which nobody except employees had ever had access to. And if an employee said something, he got fired, or if an employee got caught with a camera in there, they smashed the camera and they fired him and they arrested him. So back in the day, they were really secretive about what went on in there. What was your impression as we took the tour of the old, cold Asarco smelter?
Well, that was interesting itself. You know, living at the foothills there in the base of that whole factory was, as a kid, you know, you really didn't take in what it was. You know, the stacks themselves were an icon to us. You know, it always showed us the way home. You know, wherever we were, we could always look for those smokestacks. And you know, I understood as a kid that, you know, that plant, that factory provided for families. You know, that was where they worked, and that was what provided us. So, you know, going in there, you know, in 2010 as we did, it was just amazing to see the inner works of what was there. I mean, you really don't imagine everything that goes into, you know, what they were doing, the smelting process, standing inside the stacks. You know, how many people can say that they actually stood inside the Asarco smokestack? You know, maybe it wasn't the, you know, best thing to do, you know, considering hazmat and everything else, but, you know, we did it, you know, and I mean, just to touch the stack itself, you know, it was always off limits. You never, you know, got to go anywhere near it to do this. I mean, this whole thing was just amazing to be able to do.
The first day we went in there was sort of like let's go take a quick tour and see. I went over and touched the stack. I'm thinking, God, nobody ever does this. And then ultimately we got inside there. That was even more bizarre. And then to figure out, oh, there's one stack inside the other stack. That was a double stack, the biggest one. And to figure out what that was all about. The whole place was amazing. But we did video record everything we did. That also is now for free to watch in a documentary. It's 50 minutes long. It's called The Last Tour of the El Paso Smelter, and we did a number on that place. I mean, you know, when the stacks came down, you helped us get a camera on top of Cristo Rey to watch it from there. That was one camera. We had a total of 20 cameras. We had access to all the footage. I had people coming out of the woodwork calling me at home. Hey, I'd shot it. You want my footage? I met a couple of people. I said, I don't know who you are. So I met him at the post office. You know, you'll be wearing a red lapel jacket and all that. No, we identified each other and said, okay, you're the guy with the video. Okay, sure, I'll take it. And so I had 20 cameras. ABC 7 was fabulous. They had 7 or 8 cameras that they let me have access to. Plus, we put 4 cameras live on site, which nobody had. And with ABC 7's help, we microwaved those out of there. They recorded them for us up at the station, but they put them on live. And so we had all that footage for the documentary. So when those stacks blew, we had it on video, man. That was the coolest thing I've ever done as far as like a documentary goes. And
right, and then I shot it from the top of Cristo Rey. And we had, I think, Channel 7 up there and a couple other media outlets.
And Fernie Apodaca was up there for us.
Filmed from the top.
Yeah, oh, no, that was we had 3 cameras up there. That was an amazing, and that's also on YouTube, El Paso History TV. Watch it for free, and it's called Last Tour of the El Paso Smelter. Just Google that, and you can find
it. And Jackson, you can watch it for free, or, you know, if anyone's interested, I do have copies of that video that are available. We'd let them go for, you know, $10 a piece if somebody wants to keep an actual copy, and all proceeds go to Mount Cristo Rey.
Buy from Ruben.
Yeah.
Buy from Ruben, 252-9840, because we don't sell them anymore.
And right, they're $10 a piece, and you can, if you need them shipped out, it'd be $4 for shipping, something like that. And get your copy. You know, we have copies of the stacks, so that DVD, and then a couple others of the history of El Paso, the ghost stories of history.
We did one whole tour at night, a couple of nights actually. We compiled into one video called Ghost Stories of El Paso, Volume 4. Well, we took one main psychic, Diana Calamia, we took her through the smelter, and she was talking to dead people all over the place. Now, do you believe it? And I did, because all of a sudden I could see later in the video there were orbs floating around where she said there were people. That freaked me out. The actual orbs were there. Melissa, you had a thought?
Yeah, I wanted to go back to the statue. I was looking at an old edition of Nova magazine from UTEP, and it has this article about Mount Crystal Ray and its building and such, but there was something I'd never heard of. And this is at the point where, with the diocese still hesitant to accept commitment of the project, Father Lourdes proposed to seal the breast of the mountain as a reformation of their pledge. By late 1935, a mammoth monogram of black and white painted rock embraced the north slope, measuring 500 feet in circumference, with 36-foot-high letters. And it said IHS, Latin, of course, for Jesus the Savior, Jesus Savior of Men, and was visible for 15 miles up the Rio Grande Valley.
Are you talking about a letter on the mountain?
Yeah, it was a letter on the mountain.
Yeah, and they had to blow it away to put the road
oh,
in.
Oh, no, I know, but I mean, I'd never heard about that until now.
I saw one picture. I don't know what happened to
it. Yeah, but I had never heard that story before. Yeah. I'd always heard about the wooden crosses and such and the stations of the cross, but never the letters.
We got to take a break. Mike is holding hold on the phone. We'll come back in a minute. I also want to talk briefly about the integration and the connection between the people of Smeltertown and Asarco. I mean, it was kind of like one in the same. Asarco kind of operated the people as a subdivision, because they were on Asarco property. Am I correct? I'm correct about that, right?
Yes.
Oh, interesting stuff. All right, taking a break. Come back in just a moment. Andrew, hit the button.
Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina serves the old Griggs Mexican food recipes in a new location at 6761 Donovan Drive. Enjoy great New Mexican food with cold beer and the Juan and only margarita from the Cantina. The managers and cooks from the original Griggs Restaurant serve tacos, combination plates, and sopapillas. Get the best Mexican food in the valley at Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina, 6761 Donovan, near Loop 375. Call 877-2152.
I'm Tony Goldwyn. 20 years ago, when my mom had lung cancer, she didn't have many choices. But today, you do. If you've been diagnosed with lung cancer, please visit standuptocancer.org/lungcancer to learn more.
We know the backbone of our country is built by local businesses like yours. We also know that during times like this, 92% of Americans turn to radio to hear information about brands they trust from people they can trust. That's why iHeartMedia is here for you. Call 1-844-BUY-RADIO and speak to us about growing your business in a time where it is needed the most. It's your audience listening, and it's time you sent them a message. Call now. 1-844-BUY-RADIO.
Here at Rocket Mortgage and the Rock family of companies, every one of our team members knows a hero.
My Uncle Paul, who works long hours at the grocery store to make sure that people can put food on the table.
We really want to thank my wife's cousin Marie, who works so hard as a nurse saving others.
Thank you for being a hero in our community, Des Marie.
To those who leave their homes to keep us safe in ours, we thank you. From the front lines to behind the scenes, we see you. You're essential every day, and today, you're heroes.
We're giving families everywhere a little more hope for a healthier tomorrow.
We're sending all our love, gratitude, and hope your way.
Here's to all of you. We couldn't be more grateful.
Thank you so much for everything that you're doing.
Yeah, you guys are awesome.
And we miss you, Mama.
I just want to say thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
If you'd like to thank America's frontline and essential workers with us, visit everyoneknowsahero.com. Quicken Loans, LLC, NMLS number 3030, licensed in 50 states. Each legal entity that identifies themselves as part of the Rock family of companies are separate legal entities with their own governance and management structures.
I've always wanted to learn another language, but every time I try, it never sticks. So I decided to give Babbel a try, and I really like the teaching method of the app. I started with the beginner lesson on Babbel, and it starts with simple words and phrases, and soon you're putting those words into a conversation. Each lesson takes about 10 to 15 minutes, and they're all really different, which keeps things interesting. The app is really smart. It actually keeps track of the words I'm struggling with so I can practice them and get better. I chose Babbel because it was created by real language teachers. They built it around real life, how people actually communicate, and what they care about. I can't wait to use my new language skills in the real world. Dos cervezas, por favor.
With Babbel, get conversational in Spanish, French, German, and more. It just takes 10 to 15 minutes a day. Now try Babbel free. Just go to Babbel.com or download the Babbel app and start learning a new language today. That's Babbel.com, Babbel.com.
And now let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show. Brought to you by ephistory.com. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive. By Monterey Asset Management. By Mission Del Rey, 1421 Lee Trevino, with El Paso souvenirs and gift shopping. By Keystone Heritage Park on Donovan Drive, 915-584-0563. And by Amigos Restaurant, 2000 Montana, a block east of Cotton, open 7 days a week. Here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
Jackson here with Melissa, and we got Ruben on the phone. Ruben, what are your thoughts about ASARCO and the people? You mentioned it was an integration, and it was one and the same, and it was the place that you looked to living in Calavera like you did. You looked to ASARCO as a place of provision and would help the families.
That was it. You know, that was, I think, the whole purpose. You know, the workforce that fed ASARCO, you know, that worked there was, you know, the people that lived there, and that's why it was established. So when people, you know, I get different, I guess, opinions from different people, and I've got family members, some that loved it and some that hate it. You know,
oh, yeah.
It belonged to the people, you know, because that's where they worked. That's what provided for their families. And these were good-paying jobs. You know, I do know people that it contributed in that sense, you know, to something negative. I mean, it's hard to say. You know, for
yeah.
me, you know, my dad worked there, you know, a short time. My grandfather worked there a short time, but I had uncles and all kinds of cousins and everybody else that worked there. You know, to say that that it was a result of them working there that they got sick and died, I mean, you know, it's very easy to say that. But, I mean, at the time, you know, that's what provided, that's what built, I think, this city and this part of the town.
It needs a museum. It needs a museum, Ruben, to Smelter Town, to Calavera, to the whole experience you're talking about. We need a museum down there somewhere in that area, don't we?
We do. You know, and for years now, I've been trying to, you know, work something out to get the property, you know, at least leased or donated or something that we can put. You know, the archives and the stuff that we have. I mean, I think combined, Jackson, what we pulled out of ASARCO.
I had to build a shed on my. I built a shed on my property just to hold that stuff. Anyway,
right. Yeah.
And if anybody wants to get involved, call Ruben 252-9840. It'd be great if somebody with too much money or even just enough money would get involved and help create a museum. We've got lots of exhibits that we could put in there. Be interesting. Let's just try to take one more call here before we get out of here. Mike, you're on the radio. What's up, Mike?
Hey, good morning. Great show. I've enjoyed listening to it today.
Thank you.
I have a kind of a two-part question. First, do any of you know the kind of like the max population or the population swings of the Smelter Town area over the last 100 years?
Wow.
And secondly, how far, like, they found the dinosaur tracks a few years ago. How far is that from the trail that people walk up?
Oh, you go right by them. You go right by them, right, Ruben?
Yeah, on the main trail that you enter the mountain, or that you go up toward the trail towards the entrance of the mountain, there's a whole area there that is just covered in dinosaur tracks, and they're all over that area. Actually on the mountain that have been discovered on the actual Crystal Ray property, but all around, there's just dinosaur tracks within that, you know, walkable area.
Mike, real quick,
you see them.
The book you need is by Monica Perales. Look her up. She's got a full rundown of Smelter Town people. And what happened was you had a flat land. It was a lake that had the dinosaur tracks in the lake. This intrusion, the hypabyssal andesite pluton of magma, blew up straight up, and it pushed up the sides. And so what they found, the dinosaur tracks were on the sides of walls because they were displaced as its stuff came up. Does that make sense?
Great.
It's in the video.
Appreciate it.
Go look at the video that we have free online. We explain the whole thing.
Yeah, so you're looking at
Hey, Mike, and here in the diary, there's a reference from Monsignor Costa, from Father Costa, that he says in 1934, the idea for Cristo Rey and the monument is to serve the 8,000 families that live in Smelter Town.
There you go.
So
wow.
There's an actual number that he throws out there.
8,000 families or people?
That live there.
Families.
Well,
people,
says,
probably.
It says families. It does
wow.
say families.
Oh, families.
I looked that up.
All right,
wow.
Mike, there's your
huge.
Numbers. But look on the YouTube channel, El Paso History TV, and you can see that video. It does explain what I just told you about the Calavera. The caldera, actually. You take it easy. Ruben, we got to run. Thank you much. I've got a bunch of stuff for you, Ruben, that I've been digging up as we've been moving our household. And also, We got to figure out what to do with that storage shed of stuff. Give me a chance on that one day soon. In the meantime, thanks for being on the radio with us. Ruben Escandone Jr., 252-9840. Get involved in weddings.
Go to the Facebook page, and you can click on the link there and get hold of him through the restoration committee.
There you go. Ruben, thanks a lot, dude. It'll be kind of fun. We'll put that museum together one of these days. You take her easy.
Thank you, guys.
Bye-bye, Ruben.
Thanks a lot. You take care. Thanks, Control Room, Andrew J. Polk.
Yay.
We know what the J stands for.
JJ.
And Shelley Sutherland, we know what the Shelley stands
Shelley,
for.
Shelley, Shelley.
See you next week on the El Paso History Radio Show.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to the El Paso History Show. We hope you'll join us again next Saturday morning, 10 to noon, and be sure to tell a friend about us. Brought to you by Patrick Tuttle Legacy Real Estate Services, 915-585-7777. And by Amigos Restaurant, 2000 Montana, a block east of Cotton, open 7 days a week with great Mexican food. By Keystone Heritage Park on Donovan Drive, 915-584-0563. By Monterey Asset Management, and by Mission Del Rey, 1421 Lee Trevino, with El Paso souvenirs and gift shopping. Thank you for joining us from the studios of News Radio 690 KTSM AM El Paso.
Amigos at 2000 Montana Avenue, one block east of Cotton. Amigos Restaurant is the green building with the free parking. Amigos serves breakfast and lunch 7 days a week and dinner Tuesday through Sunday. Amigos on Montana has traditional El Paso Mexican food, plus salads, chicken, and chocolate flan. Amigos has private dining rooms for parties and meetings. Get ready, get hungry. We're cooking at Amigos, 2000 Montana Avenue, 533-0155. Amigos!
Visit Mission Del Rey Southwest for a huge selection of El Paso souvenirs and gifts. Mission Del Rey features El Paso saddle blanket products and thousands of Southwest, Western, Native American, and Mexico items for gifts and decor. Bring your friends and mention you heard us on the radio for a store-wide discount. Mission Del Rey Southwest, 1421 Lee Trevino, enter on Pelicano. Go to missiondelrey.com or call 915-440-2140 for Mission Del Rey Southwest.
If you want to get your business on the radio and you don't need help from a professional, you really need to check out iHeartAdBuilder.com. Not only is it extremely affordable, online, customizable, and heard by 9 out of 10 Americans every month, it's just so easy. You can even make your own radio ad all from your smartphone, wherever you are. Click, listen, approve, and get your ad on air. Get started today at iHeartAdBuilder.com. That's iHeartAdBuilder.com.
When you treat customers right, they come back. Here's another loyal Susan Eisen customer.
The service I got at Susan Eisen's was fantastic, and I would never go anywhere else. I decided that this was the best place to go. They're patient, caring, considerate, and they would probably be the best people to go to.
Susan Eisen Fine Jewelry and Watches, voted best bling in El Paso 10 years in a row. 5857 North Mesa, call 584-0022 or online at SusanEisen.com.
NBC News Radio, I'm Cameron Fairchild. The worldwide death toll attributed to coronavirus is more than 275,000. Johns Hopkins University reports nearly 4 million people worldwide have been diagnosed with the disease. The United States is the country hit hardest, with more than 1.2 million confirmed cases, more than 77,000 deaths. The first coronavirus test to use saliva is now cleared for home use.
The FDA had earlier only approved a lab in New Jersey to administer it, but this move adds more at-home options. It joins the nasal swab testing kit, which some have complained about. This new test costs around $100 and can only be ordered by a doctor. Brian Shook, NBC News Radio.
Protesters take to the streets in San Diego to demand stay-at-home orders in California be lifted.
Like many rallies across the country, this one in San Diego, dozens here at the Hall of Justice in downtown San Diego. Some of the signs they are holding: freedom is essential. The Constitution isn't suspended during the pandemic. They are against Governor Gavin Newsom of California, saying that he needs to lift the stay-at-home orders. From downtown San Diego, California, Phil Ferraro, NBC News Radio.
A cold front could cause severe weather in the eastern United States this Mother's Day weekend. Rain and snow conditions already in effect from western New York to West Virginia. Wind gusts today and tomorrow could cause power outages in the Northeast. Daily highs are expected to be 10 to 25 degrees below average now and into the beginning of next week, with possible record-setting cold for portions of the South. Freeze warnings are in effect from Kansas and Oklahoma for much of the Midwest, Mid-Atlantic states, and as far south as Georgia. You're listening to the latest from NBC News Radio.
I'm Mike Tipton, checking in with our partners at the CBS Forewarned Weather Center. Mostly sunny and warmer conditions with the wind continuing at 5 to 15 miles an hour. A high of 87 in El Paso, 85 the high in Las Cruces. For your Sunday, look for partly cloudy and breezy skies with a 30% chance of rain and storms. El Paso peaking at 86 degrees, while Las Cruces tops out at 83 degrees. For a complete look at your weather forecast, visit CBS4Local.com.
College football without fans could be a reality for a big game this fall.
The Ohio State Buckeyes game against the Oregon Ducks in September might be played in an empty stadium. Oregon Governor Kate Brown says her state is reopening in stages, but large gatherings like sporting events and concerts will not return before the end of September. The Buckeyes and Ducks are currently slated to meet September 12th in Eugene. Sarah Bartlett, NBC News Radio.
Ohio State University reaches a settlement with victims of sex abuse by a former team doctor.
OSU has reached a $41 million settlement with the 162 people who said they were sexually abused by the late Dr. Richard Strauss over the course of 20 years. Each person receiving money will be entitled to a varying amount. Also, the university will spend another $500,000 to cover the cost.